Rens and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. Hey, by the way, Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's time for you to get yourself in a situation where you're not going to be in the doghouse. The staff at Jimmy's Flowers can create something for you or get one of their ready-to-go arrangements for any budget. Jimmy's Flowers, with stores in Bountiful, Layton, or Ogden, or online at jimmysflowers.com. Make sure you order early. It's jimmysflowers.com.
They're a memorable bouquet.
Yes.
It's memorable flowers. It's impactful for those amazing women in your lives, and men too.
Have you ever gotten flowers?
No. I was going to try to lie and say yes, but no, I haven't.
Okay.
But if I did, I'd be like, hey, that's awesome.
That'd be interesting, for sure.
Wouldn't shake a stick at it.
No, not at all. All right, one of the more memorable weekends of NFL football that we've ever seen. Frank Schwab, kind enough to join us to help break it down. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, Frank.
How
you doing? Hey,
Frank. Great, how you guys doing?
We're still trying to regroup after what we saw. So let's start with Kansas City and Buffalo. There's so many different aspects to this game, but 13 seconds, you should not be able to get off a high quality field goal attempt that Kansas City did with 13 seconds, right? Come on, that's ridiculous.
It is, and I just heard this, and I think it's true. I mean, based on there's only been twice in NFL history that a team has kicked off with less than 20 seconds left in the lead and ended up losing the game, and both times were the Buffalo Bills. The first time, the Music City Miracle, and then this one. Yeah, I mean, and you wonder, and this is what's been going on in my head. I mean, obviously the Bills misplayed this. They probably should have squib kicked. They should have played a regular defense. The prevent did not work for them. But I wondered if Tyreek Hill's touchdown just before that was in the back of their minds. Like, they're like, we can't have them outrun the rest of our team. We need to, just kick it out of the end zone. That way nobody can break a 90-yard touchdown run or, a kickoff return. Or, when they're playing that really, really soft prevent, they're thinking, well, we'll just keep it in front of us so Tyreek Hill doesn't catch a crosser again and beat us to the house. Like, I just think that affected their – even if it wasn't said out loud, I think that affected the way they called the last three plays that game, the regulation, including the kickoff, and it bit them. It really did. And I just, more than anything, honestly, I don't even feel like happy for Chiefs fans. Although they're great fans, I just feel bad for Bills fans because they've been waiting so long. They had a team that really, if they win last night, they're favored for a Super Bowl, and it's not even close. And to give it away like they did is just so heartbreaking. And there's no guarantee they get back. Look, we like to think that, like, Mahomes and Josh Allen are going to play in the playoffs the next 10 years. There's no guarantee with that. There's no guarantee with anything year to year in the NFL. So I hope the Bills get back. I really do. But if they don't, man, Bills fans are just going to remember those last 13 seconds of overtime for forever, really.
Do you think the NFL is hearing all the criticism in regards to the overtime, the way it's conducted, and the fact that Josh Allen did not get another possession?
I don't. I'm alone on this, but I don't mind overtime. I really don't. I thought the old way of just getting field goal range and kick a long field goal and we're done, I thought that was too easy. But I don't think it's too much to ask for an NFL defense to say, okay, stop them from getting in the end zone. Your quarterback gets the ball. If the Buffalo Bills are at number one defense in the NFL this year by some metrics, if you could just hold them to a field goal, Josh Allen gets the ball. But they didn't do their jobs. Like, and nothing's ever going to be totally fair for the people who are like, we'll give each team one possession and then start sudden death. Okay, well, the Chiefs score, the Bills score, the Chiefs score. The Chiefs had two overtime possessions and the Bills had one. What's fair about that? Like, why is that a fair solution? So you're never going to come up with a perfectly fair way that you have to take into account player safety at some point. You can't play 10 overtimes. You just can't do it. At some point, a game has to end in the NFL. And so knowing there's no fair way to do this, I don't think it's unreasonable to tell an NFL defense, hey, keep them out of the end zone, your quarterback gets the ball, a chance to win the game. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I was totally fine with the way it went down, honestly, last night. I just have a hard time, again, feeling like the Buffalo Bills got the short end of the stick and they were treated unfairly because, A, could have kept them out of the end zone in overtime, or B, you could have made one of two stops in the last 2 minutes of regulation, too.
Well, and that's kind of where I'm at, too, because there was no doubt that whoever won that coin toss really felt like it was going to win that game because both defenses were gassed. And so whoever won that coin toss was probably going to go down and score a touchdown and win the game. With that said, just because that was the case for that one individual game, I don't know if that's warrants making a complete blanket statement, you know, wide, you know, massive change to how overtime. I love the fact that, as you mentioned, a few years ago, they bumped it to a touchdown instead of a field goal. I think that was the right thing to do, and I think it's probably the best system in place.
Yeah, and I, again, if you have to have an eye, you know, whenever you give me any solution for overtime, you have to have an eye on player safety too, because you just can't play eight overtimes. So just, you don't do that to NFL football players. And nobody's given me a solution that's absolutely fair. I mean, even like, well, play a full 15-minute quarter of overtime. I guess, like, that makes some sense to me, but at the same time, you're guaranteeing then that NFL teams are playing, anytime they go to overtime, they're playing a minimum of 75-minute game, and are tied at the end of the overtime, they're going to second overtime, and who knows how long that's going to go. So, I don't know. I think this is fine. I think, again, I'll keep saying it, I don't think it's unreasonable to tell an NFL team, hey, your defense needs to hold this team to less than a touchdown on this drive, and then you'll have a chance to win the game. I just don't see where that's unfair.
So I want to back up. I mean, you live in the Rocky Mountain area. I call games for Utah State, and so I watched a lot of Josh Allen as a collegiate player. And while it seemed like he had a lot of tools, he wasn't particularly accurate. I didn't really think he was a first-round quarterback just based on what I saw in the collegiate level. And now all of a sudden he's a superstar and was 13 seconds away from potentially going on to a Super Bowl run. Did you see this coming at all from Josh Allen?
Not even a little bit, no. I mean, I thought he could be good. Like, I thought he could have, I mean, ironically, I guess enough this weekend, a Matthew Stafford type of career where puts up good numbers, always is kind of flawed a little bit, never really does much. I guess, you know, Stafford's changing that narrative now. But I thought that kind of was Allen's upside. I didn't see this coming. And I give a ton of – it's all – look, I mean, the tools are always there. We saw him throw at the pro day and all that kind of stuff where he can throw the ball 80 yards. But this is a guy who I believe anyway was honorable mention All-Mountain West his last year. Like, yep. Brett Rippon was first team. Like, okay, like, it's hard to translate that to you're going to be one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just hard to make that leap. But – I think it's been two things in play. One, you have to give Josh Allen a tremendous amount of credit for being honest with himself and saying, I'm not good at these things. What do I need to do to get differently? I need to change my mechanics to be more accurate. I need to work on these things to become a better NFL quarterback. And then I think you give a ton of credit to Brian Daboll and the Bills offensive staff to say, you know what? We're gonna put this guy in position to get better. We're going to call plays that fit him, what he does. We're not going to ask him to be a misfit in whatever scheme we have. We're going to build our scheme around him. And I think the combination of those two things has really allowed him to thrive. I mean, it's like we like to think that every single NFL player is just working their hardest every single day to become the best they can be, when that sometimes it is the case. A lot of times it's the case, but not always the case. Or they don't know how to work on the things they need to work on, or they're too, you know, too confident in themselves and what they do well to think about the things they don't do well. And this is all Josh Allen to say, hey, look, I'm not an accurate quarterback. That's the number one thing I need to work on in my game. I'm going to totally overhaul what I do. I'm going to work on it every single day of the offseason. I'm going to get better. And now you see the results, and it's a really impressive transformation for him.
Moving on to the Bucs game, obviously another incredible game. The Rams find a way to get behind that Bucs defense in the closing seconds. And you've got Bruce Arians defending his defensive coordinator, saying that the cover zero was exactly what they wanted to do, but the players didn't blitz that were supposed to blitz. Is he just trying to defend his coach? Do you feel like he's throwing players under the bus? Did you feel like the cover zero was the right way to go?
No, absolutely not. I mean, and the one reason for that is his game situational. We saw Matt Gay, the Rams kicker, come up way short on a 47-yarder. I mean, I think he hurt himself pregame. I think that was the word. Obviously, he didn't have his range. So if you're the Rams, you know we got to get beyond the 30-yard line, maybe the 20-yard line, to give him a real shot at winning this game, because a kicker's not right. And the only way you're going to do that is if Cooper Kupp gets behind the defense and he's match up on a safety because you've run a cover zero. I hated the call. I just thought it was, you have certain identities as a team. Bruce Arians' teams have always been very aggressive, always foot on the gas, and I get it. I understand it. You don't want to be passive if you're an aggressive team. You don't want to be passive at the biggest moment of the game. But in that particular spot, and the only thing that beats you in that spot is exactly what happened. And I can't justify basically sending everybody when, and again, maybe if everybody gets the right call and they're all on the same page, they get enough pressure on Stafford where he never makes that throw, but it didn't happen. And at the end of the day, you had, basically Cooper Kupp running behind your defense when the one thing you couldn't give up was a deep, long play like that quickly. So, yeah, I hated the call, honestly. I just think that's the one thing you can't do in that spot.
Frank Schwab joining us, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, recapping a crazy weekend. But the fallout is going to be interesting as well. Try to climb inside the mind of Tom Brady. Do you think he comes back?
I do. I don't know. I think people have taken, like, his the fact that he hasn't committed, I think people have tried to extrapolate that and be like, well, that must mean he's retiring. I just think as a guy who, well, he's 44. He doesn't need to make a decision right now. He didn't look like a guy at the end. He didn't look like a dude who didn't have anything left. I mean, we knew Peyton Manning was going to retire after 2015 season, win or lose. Like, that was it. He was at the end of the line. Brady, if somebody voted Brady MVP, I would have no problem with that whatsoever. That's how good he was. So I don't see why, really, he'd retire. Like, everybody's like, well, he's got kids of this age, and Giselle wants him to retire. That's been the case for 6-7 years, and he hasn't retired. I do think he comes back, unless there's something lingering in the back of his mind where he doesn't want to be Peyton Manning in his last season. He doesn't want to be Joe Namath with the Rams. He wants to say, you know what, I tie a bow on my career right now, playing, probably going to finish second in the MVP voting. That's fine. Like, I've won everything. I've done everything. I'm not going to have that kind of lame season where he just throws for 22 interceptions and 10 touchdowns, and everybody's like, ooh, Brady stuck around 1 year too long. That would be a reason, and family stuff too, I'm sure factors in. But he, to be honest, doesn't look like a guy who's going to retire. It's just he hasn't said, I'm coming back, so everybody's kind of taken the next step on that.
Felt like there was nobody in the world more happy that the Buccaneers lost than Antonio Brown, obviously sending out that social media post and making fun of the situation. Would he have been the difference? He maybe in Godwin on the field. Did Tom Brady just lose too many weapons?
I think so. And, I mean, he still had guys. It's not like the cupboard was completely bare. But and Chris Godwin's top 15, maybe 10 receiver. And Antonio Brown, whatever anybody, including myself, might think of him, he's a Hall of Fame talent. There's no doubt. And so, yeah, it's just one. Look, the Buccaneers last year, when they went on that run late in the season, they rode a streak of injury luck that was amazing. Like, they really didn't lose anybody of note. It was bound to catch up to them. It happens in the NFL, and they had to deal with it, and it was a little too much for them. And even with all that, they still were tied with however many seconds left to go in that game and could have easily won. So, not a terrible season for them, obviously. But, yeah, I think injuries caught up to them.
All right. So Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. Is he playing for the Broncos? Where do you think he ends up?
I don't know, and I think my crazy opinion today is that I think there's a bigger chance Aaron Rodgers retires than Tom Brady. I don't know.
I see some truth to that.
Yeah, because I don't know. We're all playing amateur psychologists here. It seemed like Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not getting into the politics of it, but it seemed Aaron Rodgers was really interested in speaking about things that had nothing to do with football. Like, he almost had this epiphany of, I can be more than a football player. People listen to me, what I have to say about things other than football. And maybe that appeals to him. He's going to be 39, I believe. The Packers situation is way up in the air. They're $44 million over the cap, $48 million over the cap, whatever it is. Devontae Adams might not be back. But if you start over, like, okay, let's say you go to Denver. You're going to a team that's going to trade a lot for you. It's not going to be as good because they've traded a lot for you. You've got to learn a new coaching staff, new teammates. You got to live in a new place. Do you want to do that at age 40? I know it worked for Peyton in Denver. I know it worked for Tom in Tampa. But it's not easy. It's not a guarantee. So I wonder if he's just going to look at it and say, whatever, I just won back-to-back MVPs. I feel good. I've won a Super Bowl. Not as many as maybe people think he should have, but he's won a Super Bowl, so he's not chasing that. Maybe he just thinks, hey, I want to use this platform to talk about other things instead of football. And I don't know. I feel much more confident Brady's going to be back than I do whatever Rodgers is going to do, because I have no idea. I think staying with Green Bay, moving on to a different team, retirement, I think all three things are on the table, and any one of them wouldn't surprise me.
I'm a little bit worried, Frank, that the conference championship weekend is going to be whack with the matchups. The Rams look like they're going to destroy the Niners, and the Chiefs look like they're going to destroy the Bengals. Is there any potential in what you could foresee in there being an upset in either one of those championship games?
Oh, I think, of course, I think if the 49ers are healthy, that they beat the Rams twice. And they beat the heck out of them once. I mean, that Monday night game, they came back from 17-0 in Week 18, and again, the Rams should have felt they needed to win the NFC West. It wasn't a nothing game for the Rams. They were playing hard. And the 49ers came back, won that game. I don't see why. The 49ers do a lot of things that you like to see from teams in the postseason. They run the ball. They rush a quarterback. Play great defense. I mean, they, for as much as we could talk about Aaron Rodgers coming up short, well, the 49ers defense had a lot to do with that. They played great. I think they could beat the Rams. I really do. I think they're totally live. I know Jimmy's not playing great, but he doesn't need to. Like, this team is not built around Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, they need him to once or twice every quarter get the ball to Deebo Samuel, get the ball to George Kittle, let them do their thing. He can do that. So I think they're live. And if I'm going to make a case for the Bengals, it would be this, and that's, there almost has to be a letdown for the Chiefs. The Chiefs left a lot on the field. And I'm dating myself with this, and most people out there probably don't remember it, but in 81, the San Diego Chargers played one of the greatest games of NFL history at the Orange Bowl against the Dolphins, double overtime, 41-38, and they had nothing left the next week in the AFC Championship game. And that was the Freezer Bowl in Cincinnati and all that kind of stuff. But they just had nothing left. And you wonder, the Chiefs just played one of the most emotional, crazy games you're ever going to see. Is there some letdown from that? And I think there could be. And in fact, the Bengals are a good quality football team. We just saw the Chiefs defense get torched by the Bills. Well, why can't the Bengals do that? Burrow's playing out of his mind. Jamar Chase might be a top 10 receiver already. T. Higgins, all those guys. So I think the Bengals can keep it close. But I do think the Rams, don't count out the Rams. They're playing really, really, really good football.
Regardless of what Jimmy Garoppolo does and how far the 49ers go, is he going to get Trent Dilfer and shown the door when this thing's all said and done?
I don't know. We were just talking about that, me and Charles Robinson, on our podcast last night, saying, what if Jimmy wins a Super Bowl? It's on the table. Like, that wouldn't be the craziest thing that's happened, even this NFL season. What if Jimmy Garoppolo wins a Super Bowl? Are you really going to just dump him at that point? What if he gets there and you win you lose a close game? Like, do you dump him then for Trey Lance, who's started two games in his career? I don't know. I think it's a fascinating situation. Yeah, he might get Trent Dilfer. You're right. But I just don't know. I don't know what you can do if you're the 49ers. If they go on and win a Super Bowl and they're capable of it, what do you do at that point? You just trade Jimmy? Like, I don't know. It's fascinating. And it would end up being one of the crazy offseason storylines if that comes to pass.
All right, so this is a selfish question because we brought you on a lot. I think you remember I'm a Broncos fan. So is it Hackett or Quinn? Who are the Broncos going with?
I don't know. And O'Connell's name is coming up too, the Rams offensive coordinator. I kind of assume, just because teams do the opposite of what they just did, that it's probably going to be Hackett, because, you know, Fangio didn't work out. Vance Joseph was a defensive coach. Those guys didn't work out. So what do you do next? You go offensive coach, right? And you say, well, our defense is good enough. We need off. So maybe Hackett's the answer. I don't know if that's the right thought process, but teams do it all the time. So I'd probably say right now, if I had to put money on somebody, it's probably Nathaniel Hackett, because, you know, teams just, again, you do the opposite of what you just did, and Vic Fangio and Vance Joseph before him, defensive coaches didn't work out. So you switch the page and you say, well, let's go offense instead.
You know, I was telling Scotty, I think it'd be interesting to see the Broncos give Vance Joseph another try.
Okay, stop it. Stop.
Bring him back. Let's do it.
He's having the time of his life for another time. Appreciate it.
Just one more shot.
Hey, there's so many things we could talk to you about. Frank, we appreciate your time. It's a crazy day for all of us, but thanks for carving out a moment for us, and we look forward to catching up again here soon.
Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Frank Schwab, Yahoo. No, stop
it. That?
I like how they went.
I'm sure he's available.
Oh, I'm sure. Actually, there's a lot of people that think he's going to get another crack. He's really highly thought of. And there's a lot of people that I think Frank could probably vouch to say this, that think that he's going to get another shot as a head coach. which is...
You couldn't ask any Raiders questions in there?
No.
Do I have to bring a specific Raiders guy on just to talk some Raiders? Because I will. We'll go straight Raiders if you want.
Well, no. Nobody wants... Nobody cares.
Unless it's like...
I think a lot of people care.
You know what's interesting about that, Lloyd? Nothing.
We do lose a lot of listeners when we start talking about the Las Vegas Raiders.
No, that's not true.
So are they hiring a coach? Are they just going to promote the special teams?
No, I think they're going to go outside.
The special teams shoe clerk?
I can't remember his name.
Hey, what are your thoughts about an owner head coach in Peyton Manning? So he's the owner and the head coach.
Yeah, I don't think that'll work.
Where he gets to call all the shots.
Like John Elway was my guy growing up.
Yeah.
And the dude walked on water. And, you know, he took over as GM and brought in Peyton, and that was great. But the last 5 years have soured me a little bit on
that. Who's the last person that did that? Was it Al Davis? Was he the last person that was like...
Was he an owner coach?
I think he was, if I remember.
Sounds like...
I mean, it was a long time ago. It seems like I remember reading about it. It was before my time.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I think he was. I really think he was in the AFL at some point.
You know who I'm going to hire as a head coach? Me.
Me.
Yes. That is egotistical. That is... borderline narcissistic.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Coming up, we spin the wheel, a little sports roulette straight ahead. We are live, though, Hans, here at Homey.
So we're just trying to save you money. If you're buying or selling a home or if you're refinancing a home, we're just trying to save you money. And most recently, I used Homey Loans to refinance a place, and it couldn't have been more smooth. And obviously, things have tightened up. There are new restrictions and new requirements, but still, interest rates are down. And if you're looking to refinance, you better do it now because interest rates are starting to show an upwards trend, and Homey Loans can help you do that. And their closing cost and their professionalism is untouched here in the state of Utah. They were just incredible. They just recently sold my parents' home. My parents paid $3,000 to sell their home, just like you would pay $3,000 to sell your home. Doesn't matter if it's a $2 million house. Doesn't matter if it's a $500,000 house. It's $3,000 when you use promo code THEZONE at Homey.com. Promo code THEZONE is going to get you $500 off your sales price. So, Scotty, like we always tell people, whether they're buying, selling, or trying to finance a place, it starts at Homey. You know, the real start of Homey was on the sell end of things. It was selling homes. That was when you and I first jumped on air to advertise for Homey, was to sell homes. They still do it better than anybody. But you can save a ton of money on the buy side, giving you up to 50% of those fees back to your pocket. And also the loan ends. So make sure that when you're going to do anything in regards to real estate, it starts at Homey.com.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Sports Roulette coming up next.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Good luck next week, Warriors, Suns, and Suns. Wow.
Good times, right?
Right?
Good times. The schedule is what it is, but what better time to really put our team to the test? And if we're not going to lock in, you're about to get punched in the face a couple more times, so you've got to be ready. And if we're not ready, it'll quite clearly show against these next few teams. In the past, we've been a bit more lackadaisical against teams we're supposed to win, quote-unquote, and bring it against teams that were better than us or ranked higher than us. We're not going to just walk in and beat any team in this league, and I think that's quite clearly shown recently. We need to be better, and we know that, and yeah, we've got to be ready to go.
Oh yeah. Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
360!
It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Welcome 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Thanks for making this part of your day. It's a Monday, a lot of NFL football that we've broken down and will continue as the AFC and NFC championship games coming up this weekend. I just hope we see the same level of drama. I'm with you, Hans. I'm not as confident that we'll see some great games this weekend.
No, I don't think so. And I understand what happened in the regular season and in at the back end of the season between the Niners and the Rams. It's just Matt Stafford seems to be on another plane. That Rams defense was so nasty aggressive. They've got the best defensive lineman, if not the best football player in the game right now. If the Rams go on and win a Super Bowl, I darn well better see him get an MVP award. When's the last non-offensive NFL MVP player we've seen?
Because don't you have an offensive MVP and a defensive MVP?
No, I'm talking NFL MVP. No, isn't there just an MVP?
Oh, I thought it was split up into two.
Oh, I didn't think so.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it is.
No, you could be right. Problem is they I believe the votes are supposed to be regular season only. You're only supposed to take the regular season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, how about this then, at Super Bowl MVP?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see him get some type of massive recognition for what he does. Because
I think he's the best player in the game.
I think you could make that argument.
Yeah.
How he changed the game against the Buccaneers was, it felt like he hit Tom Brady every other, yeah, if not yeah, every play.
And then Von Miller's over there like, I'll take single coverage. Thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh. So the Rams are a problem.
Yeah.
And,
you know, honestly, if the Rams play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, I would favor the Rams. Just because the Chiefs defensively I don't think are particularly good right now. And then the Rams, that D-line, after what we saw last year with what Tampa Bay did to that Kansas City offensive line, and I know they've changed it up a little bit, but that D-line is going to create some problems for Patrick Mahomes if those two teams indeed play for a Super Bowl.
Yeah. That would be a pretty darn good Super Bowl, though.
Yeah.
Rams and Chiefs would be good Super Bowl. Just don't let it be Bengals-Niners.
No, I don't want that. I wouldn't mind Bengals-Rams.
Ooh, I'd love that.
I just don't want the Chiefs to win another Super Bowl.
I just want the two
best teams. I'm getting a little tired of them.
I want the two best teams, and it's the Rams and the Chiefs, and the Rams will win it.
Okay, yeah, but you're not thinking of somebody who likes AFC West teams not named the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, I think Lloyd and I are on the same page.
You just don't want the Chiefs.
We just don't want the Chiefs.
But it's going to be the Chiefs.
I think the Bengals have a shot.
Do you really feel that
way? I mean, I picked the Bills to beat the Chiefs, and we were 13 seconds away. Just 13 seconds.
I know.
You don't think Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase gives you a chance at all? And Mixon?
Against that defense?
Against that defense? Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
Wait, are you talking about the Rams?
I'm talking about the Bengals against the Chiefs.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
What's the line? Do you know?
I think it was 7. Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
If you give me the points, I'll take the Bengals. And we'll throw a little paradise on it.
With the points?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's 7. Chiefs minus 7.
I'll even do 6.5 so you can get the touchdown win.
I would take 6.5.
Okay.
I'll take the 6.5.
All right.
Easy money there.
Go Burrow.
You think so, Lloyd?
Yeah, I think the Bengals get it.
My dad was giving me the hardest time yesterday because he listened to our segment when we were picking games. And I had picked the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And
the Chiefs.
And the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And the obviously the Rams are just destroying the Bucks, and my dad's like, this is really hurting your credibility. just destroying me.
Do you even know anything about football?
Then the Buccaneers make this comeback, and I'm like, yeah, how about that credibility? and then they lose in the closing seconds. And he goes, well, it was a good run. You had a good run.
Oh, that's funny.
But this is wrecking you.
All right, let's get to it. Lloyd, spin that wheel.
Don't storm my field, you hoser.
So there was a 20-year-old, his name is Jacob Bross, jumped onto the field during the Chiefs and the Bills. And he tried to make it across the field, kind of ran between the Chiefs and the Bills on the field. And Stephon Diggs did not take kindly to it and leveled the dude. Did you see
him? Yep, I saw it. So much so that the guy's like, hey, who hit me? Was it a – oh, it was a player. Well, I am now suffering headaches, and I have emotional distress, and I am unable to go to work anymore. And so, Stephon, you will be hearing from my lawyer.
You could see it, couldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
As soon as he hit him, I thought, oh, that's going to come back. That's going to get him. The NFL is going to find him. Who knows? I don't know. You know, I don't know if the NFL talks to these guys and says, hey, if you got anybody running across the field, let security handle it. Don't get involved. But Stephon Diggs, this guy was wearing a Travis Kelce jersey. Obviously, a wasted Kansas City Chief fan, which
like honestly,
not too uncommon.
Like, I really think if you step out onto the field of play and you're a drunken up idiot and you're trying to make a jack-A out of yourself, that every player has a right to line up and tee off on you any way they see.
And whatever injury
comes. And whatever injury comes up, that's on you.
Do you think that's how it is, though?
No.
Like, oh, let's say Stephon Diggs hits this guy and he smacks his head and dies.
Oh, yeah. Like, Diggs is in jail.
Charged with manslaughter,
yeah,
probably.
100%. Like, this dude is going to – I mean, I'm sure as soon as he looks up, he's like, who hit me? And he sees Diggs, he's like, bam.
Money.
I just hit the mother load. I guarantee it.
That makes me sick.
I mean, over, under, until we see a story about a lawsuit, it is going to be about – I don't know, maybe 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and he'll be like, I haven't been able to focus at work. I've got headaches. Blah, 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 and my life is altered because
I made
one bad decision. I guarantee, dude, the lawsuit's coming. And then Stephon Diggs' agent's like, hey, dude, the dude wants like 200 grand. Just like kick it to him. He's like, fine, whatever. And he'll write him a check and it'll all be over.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
I guarantee this is how this ends.
Can Stephon Diggs show in any way, shape, or form that he felt like he was in danger? Because that can be your only argument. But this guy wasn't running at Stephon. Stephon kind of came from the periphery and blew him up.
I mean, honestly, if I'm a lawyer and I'm sitting at home and I see that, I'm like, I got to track this guy down.
You're calling Jacob
Ross. I got to get this guy on the line because we got something here. And it disgusts me. Yeah. Absolutely disgusts me.
Horrible.
All right. Lloyd, spin it.
Rudy Gobert is a good dude.
I love this story. And this was not something that was made readily available in terms of news. Kind of got on social media. Somebody had tweeted out a picture of it, but Rudy Gobert apparently has given everybody who works in the arena at Vivint Arena $50.
A $50 bill.
A $50 bill out of his own pocket. There wasn't a press release about it. This wasn't something that Jazz tried to promote or anything like that. It kind of got out via social media, but Rudy Gobert just kind of a shout out, a thank you to everybody who worked at the arena. Kicked him $50.
Has his autograph on the envelope, and then it says, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
$50. And I, you know, probably handed it out to over 100 people would be my guess. And you knew somebody would put that on social media. You would expect it. So that's how it kind of got out. But $50, and it feels like it was – not requested and not expected, and just kind of a kind gesture to extend a little bit of money to those people that are working his arena. And you got to appreciate that. There's some out there that may feel like it's not enough, but $50 is $50,
man. That's awesome. That's really cool. If anybody bangs on Rudy Gobert for it's not enough, then stop it.
Yeah, because
That person will end up in the bad and the ugly if they do.
Yeah, whatever. What, you know, what other player have you heard of that has done something like this?
You don't hear that very often.
No, you don't. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Remember, a new sponsor to the show, title sponsor, and want to thank our good friends at You First CU. That's right. For over 65 years, they've been a part of your community, and while their name is changing, their commitment is not. Find out more at YouFirstCU.com. All right, final segment next. We'll wrap things up, get you ready for Unrivaled straight ahead here on The Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Good luck next week, Warriors, Suns, and Suns. Wow.
Good times, right?
Right?
Good times. The schedule is what it is, but what better time to really put our team to the test? And if we're not going to lock in, you're about to get punched in the face a couple more times, so you've got to be ready. And if we're not ready, it'll quite clearly show against these next few teams. In the past, we've been a bit more lackadaisical against teams we're supposed to win, quote-unquote, and bring it against teams that were better than us or ranked higher than us. We're not going to just walk in and beat any team in this league, and I think that's quite clearly shown recently. We need to be better, and we know that, and yeah, we've got to be ready to go.
Oh yeah. Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, wrapping up another edition of the show.
I don't want this show to be over.
Not this show. This has been a fun show today.
Yeah, and I've got so much more to talk about. You and I didn't even really get... You know, tomorrow, I'll make a couple of notes of this. You and I need to talk NFL overtime. I want to get your thoughts on some different scenarios. I've got a couple of thoughts. I tend to be more on Frank Schwab's.
Yeah, I am too. I'd love to have some things. Some drag out argument, because that seems to be the cliche thing of the day to day to do, but it's like, hey,
this is the way you got to put it. Players have gotten so involved in making sure that their minutes are reduced, their safety is improved, and the NFL, I think, looks at it and thinks, well, how are we supposed to do an overtime that appeases them but still works for us? I wouldn't hate seeing a different postseason overtime as to a regular season overtime.
Yep, I agree with
that. Why do we have to carry regular season overtime rules to the postseason?
Yep. I'm with you on that.
So make the regular season overtime like, I don't know, first one to miss a 50-yard field goal.
Yep.
I don't care. Postseason – it's like, nope, we're going to go full 15 minutes and we're going to make the – and if it's tied, we go another 15 minutes.
Yep. Right?
Like, if we want to make an argument, well, then make the regular season not really matter, because really you're drawing a tie now. Take ties out. Do a kickoff. I don't care. But postseason, I was bugged that Josh Allen didn't get an attempt. It really bugged me. And the only thing I thought is, you can adjust it. You can adjust it for postseason play. Why do we got so caught up that it's got to be mandatory across all bases?
Yeah.
It doesn't, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, I mean, at one point you had a field goal would win, and then you needed a touchdown in overtime to win. They had a couple of years, and then they made that for all overtime. I think I'm with you on this. We're making this harder than it needs to be. But with that said, we all knew whoever won that coin toss was going to win that game. But because of that, does that mean we need to make massive changes? I don't know.
Well, Frank's point was, so you can't put your defense out there and at least stop them to a foot. I get that, too.
Yep.
The Bills had a solid advantage. They've got the best defense on the field. When they saw that coin toss, they had to be thinking to themselves, well, we've got a good defense.
I think everybody in that stadium, and I think everybody on that field realized Bills won't say that, but everybody knew that game was over. When Josh Allen said tails and it came up heads, it's like, all right, Kansas City's going to the AFC Championship game.
Tyreek Hill's a pretty good football player, too.
Yeah, he is.
Can you believe how many great moments he had in that game?
Yep. All right, purchase a Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat ticket to an upcoming game and receive unlimited hot dogs, soda, popcorn, nachos, and ice cream starting as low as $30 per ticket. Visit UtahJazz.com or call 325-2999 or buy your Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat ticket now. All right, Katie's with it, with us from Homey. And Katie, I tell you what, now is the time. If you've been sitting on your home for a little bit and you've been thinking, you know, maybe we should pull the trigger on this and move into our dream home or whatever the case might be, or refinance so you can rebuild your dream home. Whatever the case is, Homey's going to help make that happen for you.
Exactly. We have experts, whether it's in, you know, real estate, loans, insurance, title. We're here to make your life simple and more affordable. So if you're looking to make the move, if you're looking to, weather's weirdly enough starting to warm up, if you're looking like, hey, you know, we're out of the holidays, it's time for us to finally pull the trigger and go find our next home, now's the time to do it, and we're here to help.
So, Katie, I know you guys constantly run market research. Where are we right now in the buying and selling things? Have things plateaued with prices going up? Are we still seeing inventory move like we had in the last year?
Inventory is still really low, and we're also seeing the median home price still stay up really high. But with interest rates now going up, our interest rates are at a two-year high. So they're where we were right before COVID hit. So around 3%, just a little over 3%. And so with that, and with inventory still being low, it's hopefully going to even out here soon. Especially weather's getting warm. It's generally, you know, come March, that's kind of when the kickoff of, hey, spring's starting and the big move here mm-hmm. in Utah happens. And so hopefully with that interest rate going up, we'll be able to see a little less competitive and a little bit more homes go on the market.
But inventory is still low, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now's the time. I mean, I was showing hands some places that weren't bountiful. And I mean, it's just, it's incredible how tight the inventory is
right now.
Yeah. It's just crazy.
How competitive it is. And you put a good home on the market right now, you'll still get that number that makes a huge difference in somebody's life. And think about using Homey and keeping all the equity in your pocket. Because I think a lot of the times, well, what used to stop me from thinking about selling was, I don't want to pay that 6%. That 6% is unbearable, and all the different fees that are associated with it. And that's where Homey saves.
100%. And we've helped save so much money over the years. And we're just excited to be able to start a new year and save some more people some money.
Go to homey.com right now. That's Homie, homey.com. Right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. The boys from Unrivaled straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.